That was Linnell on the update. He's filling in for Danny today. It is Grant and Danny, and we are live on The Fan, brought to you by the law firm Condorian Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, and probate administration. They do it all. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We've been talking a lot about training camp. It's funny, you know, Terry McLaurin so far has not been nearly as big a story as I anticipated in the first few days. The day he didn't show up, day one, which was actually a non-practice day, I think that was Tuesday when Dan and Adam Peters spoke, that was the Terry McLaurin news day. I think the team was really smart to do it that way. Rather than having those guys speak the day of training camp, they spoke the day before, so the media came out, they handled the Terry thing. Dan Quinn effectively said, I'm not going to be talking about this all camp, but I'll give you my thoughts. They also downplayed it in that day, like, we think he's going to be here. Adam Peters has not had to speak again.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin has since held out, right? Today, Quinn was asked about Terry McLaurin, and he said, hey, I got nothing to update, but when I do, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
As if to say, like, don't ask me, which is a ridiculous expectation. Now, I know that he knows because he's a grown-up and he's been around for a long time and he's a head coach.
Yeah.
That question's going to keep coming.
100%.
You guys want to keep choosing not to pay him. He wants to keep choosing to hold out. Whoever you think's the bad guy doesn't matter. As long as your best wide receiver and arguably your best player on the team, not named Jaden Daniels, is not here, we're going to ask about it every few days. Doesn't have to be every single practice. Doesn't have to be twice a day. But every 2-3 days, it's very reasonable to say, is there a Terry McLaurin update? And what Dan Quinn's going to say is, no, I'll give it to you when I have it, which just means when he signs, you'll see him.
Yeah.
My guess is he'll keep getting asked. He'll keep not answering. And one day before preseason game number one, Terry's going to stroll in there and hold in. Because I just can't envision him still holding out when they start preseason games.
Because of money?
Yeah. People, I mean, look at the numbers. It's $811,000 to not show up for a preseason game. $800,000. $50,000 stinks. That's nothing compared to the $800,000. For one day of work that you're missing out on.
I didn't even know that. You just got me smarter by giving me that nugget. So if he holds out for all three preseason games, that's what, 1.4 mil or 1.24 mil?
No, that'd be 2.4.
2.4 mil.
8 plus 8 is 1.6 plus 8 is, 2.4 mil.
I didn't carry the,
carry but the 2, that, divide by the 3.
That's a lot of money. My thoughts on this, I don't know if I've told you specifically. Like, I think this thing gets ugly. I don't think... For them to not be offering him a deal that starts with a 3, to me, is ridiculous. There's really no explanation for it. I don't know if that's the case, but like that's kind of what the reporting has been from those who have tried to tap dance around it and fill in the blanks. But like, for them to not think that he deserves a contract that starts with a 3, like, what are we doing here?
I think I agree with that mostly.
Like,
I think it is disrespectful if you're offering him like 25.
Like, come on.
26. But... I could make the case that he's probably worth 28-ish, 28 and a half, 29.
Is that based off of the market and who else has had deals similar to him or what?
It is based on his age and the market.
Okay.
Like when we look at the market, we say the comps suggest he's worth 30 to 32 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm mostly in agreement with that.
Yeah.
But the guys that are getting that are not as old as him. So if you actually look at the numbers on the players that sign closer to his age, like Mike Evans or whatever,
right,
the numbers aren't as big. And so the team might be saying, actually, here's the market, because the most important number for you is not how many catches you had last year, not how many touchdowns you had last year, not if you're as good as DK Metcalf or not. It's that you're going to be 30 this football season. It's not like he turns 30 in December. He turns 30 before week two. Like, basically, when they have played one or two games, he's 30 years old. That doesn't mean you turn into a pumpkin immediately, and I think he's going to age okay because he doesn't have a lot of mileage on the tires.
Yeah.
But I would write in pencil what you said, which is if you're not giving him $30 million a year based on just his track record and the fact that you have it.
Right.
I take a little issue with that. Like if you were up against it, if Jaden was already making $45 million or something, then it's a different dialogue here.
Way different.
You're not paying your quarterback. You're in an unbelievable financial situation over the next few years because you haven't signed any bad contracts, because you haven't paid anybody. And I wouldn't advocate, Linnell, that they do this for John Allen or Daron Payne or any of the other long-term players. There's one guy to me, one, in this organization, in this era, in this decade, who deserves to be overpaid a little bit for services rendered, and he'd be the guy. Now, should that be a regular, customary way to operate? No. But I think you could break a rule or two for him, knowing he comes off the books before the Jaden money kicks in anyway.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I wonder, too, like, are they trying to, like, set a precedent with him, too? Like, you got Tunsil coming up, Luvu's coming up, Doran's going to be coming up. Like, they're going to be dudes that have 1 year left on their deal that are going to be asking for extensions. Are you going to – so my thing is, if they pay Terry, does everyone else not have to play out the final year of their deal without new money? Is this going to be a routine thing every summer for the next couple of years? Because Tunsil's due. Lattimore's in the final year of his deal. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season.
So to that, I would say, if they come to me, I treat everything the same. So call me if you're Lattimore's agent.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, got 1 year left on the deal. We're trying to figure out what's going on here. We want new money.
Yeah, your client was terrible last year. We'll see you at training camp. See, that was a quick, easy phone call, right?
Can I be Laramie Tunsil's agent?
Hey, you're lucky that I picked up the $18 million than I did.
Yeah.
You should have probably been a free agent because you played like you were Michael Davis.
Oh, that was rough, GP.
Well, I mean, I
hear it, though. You're being serious. Real.
He struggled immensely last year. Now, Tunsil's more interesting.
Yeah.
Make the call there.
So my client, who has been a multi-time Pro Bowler, you know, widely viewed as a top five tackle, we got 1 year left, and we're not really trying to practice unless we have new money.
I love that, and I appreciate that. He's going to be a star. We want him to be here for a long time. He's never done anything for me yet. He hasn't played one snap for me. He's never bled for me. He's never sweat for me. I can't pay him for what he did with the Texans. We got to see it in our program. We'll see you on the practice field.
All right, we'll see you week one.
See you then.
So that's my thing that I kind of fear here. Like, are they?
But Terry's different. Like, he's done it here. He's earned it here. Laramie Tunsil doesn't get to show up after doing the Cotton Eye Joe on U Street, according to ancient philosopher Linnell Willingham, and just start asking for cash, right? If he did, okay. But I also think that probably gets worked out before the trade in some way. Like, you're allowed to talk to an agent, and you go, hey, is this a guy that's holding out? Does he need to be paid? Does he need an extension? You know, what are we looking at?
Yeah.
The one that's more interesting is Luvu coming off last year.
Whoa, yeah.
Because Luvu last year proved he's got some star potential, and I don't think that subsides. Like, I think that Frankie Luvu is just scratching the surface of what he can be as a player.
I agree.
I think he's got another year like last year in him. He might even be better if you let him rush more. I actually think the numbers grow. But Frankie Luvu is not young either in football terms.
Was he 28?
He's 28, but he's going to be 29 when Terry's 30.
So he's not getting any younger.
So in fact, he's going to be next year when he's looking for a contract, the exact same age Terry is now.
Mm.
Now, linebackers age a little better than wide receivers.
Sure.
And so it shouldn't be as big a deal breaker. But quite literally, Terry turns 30 on like September 15th. Let me look up his birthday. Next year, when Frankie Luvu's trying to get paid, he'll turn 30 on September 19th, 4 days apart.
So it's a very similar
It's
situation.
Literally the same thing. But he'll have been coming off two really good seasons, hopefully, at that point.
And he's the heart and soul of your defense, it feels like, right now.
He is, very much so.
Like,
he's just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to be the heart and soul, whatever team he plays for. He just wears it on his sleeve.
Would they dare play hardball with the defensive culture guy the way they're doing it with the offensive culture guy? Like, this is...
If you can do this with Terry McLaurin, you'll do this with anybody.
So that's what I'm saying here. Like, are the other agents on the team going, you see what they're doing to Buddy and Terry? Like, are we going to be in that boat?
100%. Yeah, I don't even think it's just the team. I think it's around the league. This is my issue. We had a caller yesterday say something to the effect of, I don't want to set a bad precedent by giving Terry a bad contract. You can't set a bad precedent. And I'm going, I don't want to set a bad precedent by not taking care of my guy.
Right. That's the worst thing.
Who you know, walked over the coals for me.
Yeah.
The Laverniuses. he just walked right over them.
Yeah.
And I'm going, thanks for walking over the coals, but go back that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the precedent I don't necessarily want to set.
I hear it, though.
It's going to work out. I do think much of this is, it's a big deal. It's gone sideways. It's not pretty. Like, nobody's making too much out of this.
Yeah.
But much of this is the business of the NFL and just how it goes. This is how the sausage is made. Should it be this acrimonious? No.
Yeah.
I'm shocked we're here. Like, there's two dudes not there. The guy with the Bengals who called his coach a liar a month ago, and Terry McLaurin.
It just doesn't happen.
Who popped off at Eastern Motors.
Yeah.
Like, he has chosen to pay $150,000to show how angry he is at them already.
By the way, him and Buddy Baker choosing, I love that he did the shoot. You're from
Buddy Baker, who's his agent.
Who's his agent. You're from Indianapolis, Indiana, Terry. Go on the Pat McAfee show if you really want to reach an audience and have your blows be felt. But
maybe he prefers the people interview him wear sleeves.
Well,
then he can't go on the McAfee show.
That would be a problem. So, to get your official like stance and take on it, like you think there's no chance that he doesn't play this year, or that he doesn't
like at all?
Like they don't trade him. You think that's completely off the table? Would you put a 0% chance on it?
I think there's a 5% chance he gets traded.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's a...
I'm at like 70-30.
30's high.
I know, but they're not even talking. And it was crazy. Like
talking. Remember, Adam Peters said they've been talking.
Yeah, come on. If they were talking and those talks were...
Adam Peters said he thought he was showing up.
Well...
I don't believe that either.
Exactly. So if they were talking and those were real talks, Terry would be there. You know, if those talks were progressing...
I'll disagree with that.
Okay. You thought he would...
Well, progressing is different than talking.
Right, okay.
I don't think they're progressing. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's an exchange, a back and forth. They're stating their side. He's stating his side. Maybe they're haggling over a couple of details and they've changed on a few things, but the important stuff, guaranteed money or whatever, what have you, hasn't been altered yet.
Yeah.
Do I think every day they're on the phone like for an hour? No, I don't think so. But I would bet anything in my wallet that they've talked several times since Eastern Motors. I mean, there's no doubt.
I would hope.
If not, it's malpractice. Like, that's Adam Peters' job, is to look handsome on the sideline during practice and to call Terry McLaurin's agent. Like, that's the gig. We saw this with the Joe Shane thing with Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, right. In real time. We got to see the hard knocks that'll never allow us to watch a front office again because the Giants were so terrible at running their team. And, like, they got so embarrassed that everyone's like, never, not doing
that. Can't
have
that happen to me, yeah.
But, like, yeah, he's absolutely making phone calls and working the phones.
Today was a big day for Terry McLaurin to me because anybody that was out there at practice can attest to this. Like, they need him. There were so many drops today that happened where if Terry was on the receiving end, you would make the play. He would make the play. He's the contested catch warrior. Like, they just haven't, and tell me what you've thought about the first 2 days. I'm not seeing a lot of vertical shots here. Terry is your explosive play guy on this offense.
Well, I don't even think we need practice
to know that, right?
To see that. I mean, Jay was on the show with us a couple days ago when the holdout began.
Yeah.
And he obviously helped draft McLaurin and dialed up his first touchdown on a 75-yard post, helped develop him into the player he became. His point was, without Terry McLaurin, this receiver room is not good. It becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Noah Brown, health problems in Houston and here.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a durable guy per se, but I actually like his game as like a two.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, that's 4 for 39 with a couple of dig routes, right? Luke McCaffrey, who we've talked a lot about today, had 18 catches as a rookie is a big question. Debo is not a traditional wide receiver. You don't want to make him just a boundary wide receiver on every down. Like, that is taking the cape off Superman. Michael Gallup, what does he have left exactly? It's been a few years since he looked like the guy that was a good player in Dallas.
Yeah,
I think he's basically like fighting for a roster spot type.
I agree.
Same with Chris Moore. Same with any of the other veterans like KJ Osborne. Jalen Lane will be here, but being a young player in this offense, it's not that easy. Ask Luke, ask Ben Sinnott to just jump on the field and make plays. So, like, what are you hanging your hat on? If you don't have Terry McLaurin, it's Debo as a gadget guy. And then McCaffrey and Noah Brown?
So if we both know that to be true, like, what are we doing here? And I was listening to you guys.
The sausage is being made.
Yeah, and I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I think, like, you said something along the lines of, I feel like him not being there, I feel like it definitely impacts the rapport between him and Jaden. You know what I'd love to know, and Jaden would probably never tell us the truth on it. He held a passing camp, two passing camps this offseason out at, like, remote locations. I think one was in Oregon and one was in California. Does McLaurin show up to these?
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Okay. Because,
like, he's talking to all the... like,
right, he's talking to his
Luke
boys.
Luke McCaffrey in the interview we played a couple hours ago when I caught up with him yesterday. He's been in contact with Terry. They were texting over the last couple of days.
Okay.
Jaden Daniels in a press conference this week when he spoke to the media, said he had just talked to Terry, talks to him every day as if he was still there.
Okay.
I mean, Terry's in Ashburn.
Right,
I wouldn't be surprised if he's not eating ribs at somebody's house
and doing throwing sessions. With
him and Sandra still are watching, Fantastic Four right now at the Alamo in One Loud.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like he doesn't have an issue with his teammates.
It's
the money. So yeah, he's ready to go. He just let's get the money straightened out.
Yeah,
but that's You said, what are they doing right now? They are playing hardball. They have drawn a line in the sand, and they said, we're not budging. And neither side has. This was Jay Gruden on our show just a couple of days ago talking about the receiver room without Terry.
You know, what I look at is if you take him off this roster, this makes this receiving core very average to below average. And you're counting on Debo coming off injuries. Noah Brown's coming off an injury. Luke McCaffrey, who's, you know, they're obviously a little disappointed in him. Chris Moore, I don't even know who that is. Jalen Lane only had 36 catches at Virginia Tech. I mean, Michael Gallup coming off an injury. He's an older guy. So now you're looking at a way below average receiving core without him. So I don't know what the holdup is. I would try to get him in as soon as possible, and that would have been about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, or a month ago, whatever it might be.
What do you
– The Chris Moore, I don't even know who that is.
That was – poor Chris
Popped
Moore.
Me.
Yeah, did me too.
That's, I mean
– So at what point – I had Louis Riddick on last night, and he was like, at what point does Adam go to ownership and go like, we got to get this done? Or does someone go to ownership and go like, hey, you need to step in? Would it be viewed as a negative thing?
Well, I'll answer that next because that's an interesting question. I mean, after years of Dan Snyder getting overly involved, I don't want Adam Peters to have to worry about what ownership thinks. But I don't think it's a matter of him going to ownership saying we need to get this done. That would mean, like Washington National style, he wants to sign the player and the owners won't let him.
It's not that, yeah.
Right now, Josh Harris would be thrilled to stroke the check to Terry McLaurin.
Right.
Adam Peters does not want to give him what Terry McLaurin's asking for. You know, it's about him and thinking what Terry's worth, I think. But we'll open up the phones on this. I'll push the Jaden convo because this is interesting enough. 800-636-1067. Without McLaurin, can you make the case that the receiving room is still good enough for Daniels to not step backwards? If you don't even have Terry, which, again, hypothetically, we all think he's going to be here eventually. Yes. But in a world where you don't and everybody else is your receiving room, how would that not be damaging to your franchise quarterback's development? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You know, what I look at is if you take him off this roster, this makes this receiving core very average to below average. And you're counting on Debo coming off injuries. Noah Brown's coming off an injury. Luke McCaffrey, who's, you know, they're obviously a little disappointed in him. Chris Moore, I don't even know who that is. Jalen Lane only had 36 catches at Virginia Tech. I mean, Michael Gallup coming off an injury. He's an older guy. So now you're looking at a way below average receiving core without him. So I don't know what the holdup is. I would try to get him in as soon as possible. And that would have been about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, or a month ago, whatever it might be.
That was Jay Gruden on the show a couple of days ago when the Terry McLaurin lockout began. It was a tough day for the Washington offense at training camp today. And one of the problems was they weren't winning on the outside at wide receiver, weirdly, when your receiver room is made up by KJ Osborne and Michael Gallup and Chris Moore and Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey and Noah Brown. It's not going to quite be the same. So the question we're asking you guys is, can you kind of squint, turn your head sideways and be okay with this wide receiver group without McLaurin? Could it be good enough as much as they run the ball, which is more than people think under Cliff Kingsbury, with a heavy tight end room? We talked about Sinnott not being able to get on the field. Maybe you go 2-3 tight ends at a time. Running backs catching the ball to the backfield like Eckler and Robinson. Maybe that's a part of Merritt's game as well. And frankly, with Jaden running a ton. You know, because there's just less pass attempts when a lot of your pass attempts turn into scrambles and runs, which was the case last year. Let's go to CJ in D.C. on Grant and Danny. It's G&D with Linnell in today. How are you, buddy?
What's up, CJ?
Hey, what's going on?
Chilling. Go ahead.
Hey, Nell, I kind of caught up with you this week, man, about the Terry thing on your show. I think what I said then still stands true now. I think these guys are looking at the comp between JD and Lamar up the road, that receiving core and the productivity that look like we're possibly going to be getting, looks like what they're getting up the road. I think they want to sit back, and I think today was good. I think today was good for them to sit back and see what they didn't have. I think that's going to help move the needle on where they're going to bring Terry in at. I think going into it, I think they thought that they had enough to stand pat or stand close to where they were contractual-wise, because they didn't think that they needed $32 million receiver to do what they feel that they can get done. So
I think this is a smart point. I didn't mean to cut you off. finger slip, but appreciate you. So I think this is actually a good point. The Ravens have not spent big at wide receiver with Lamar, but they've always been searching for a guy. And they haven't landed. They've tried to draft. Now, I think they finally got one in Zay Flowers, who could be like a 1,000-yard guy every year. And I think he should have been in the Pro Bowl last year. Was he? I don't remember. He was like
on
the bubble.
Yeah, I think he was alternate. He did make it.
Okay. But like, he's pretty good.
Yes.
It's taken years to get there. You could even make the case it's been a mistake by not handling it to the extent that they made it more of a priority. But they view themselves as a run-first team.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry almost went for 2K. And with a running quarterback in Lamar Jackson, and with a great tight end in Mark Andrews, that like wide receiver has never been a huge priority. His point is maybe Washington views it the same way. I remember early last year making this point.
Yeah.
After the Tampa game when he ran almost 20 times, which was not authentic to the way the rest of the year went. Yeah. And as the year went on, he certainly slowed his roll a little bit. But I remember thinking, like, when Terry had a couple of those games that were light targets, and there were a lot of games where, like, at halftime, it was like 3 targets to wide receivers. Where I'm like, maybe this is going to be Ravens-ish.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is tight ends and backs out of the backfield more than wide receivers. And it certainly did not turn into that.
Right.
But maybe their point is it's close enough to that that we don't need to pay someone 30. We could have a lot of 2s, 3s make up this room, max out with someone at 20 like Debo.
Yeah.
And that's enough. I think that's an interesting question to throw out there in terms of like, is that what they might be thinking?
So the difference between this and Baltimore, I think it probably could work a little bit better here because Jaden's the type of quarterback that throws people open. Ball placement, accuracy is his specialty. When the ball's on the money, the receiver doesn't need to be as good. Do you pick up what I'm putting down when I say that? Like,
of course.
You don't need a guy to go make acrobatic catches for you because he's going to put it right in the breadbasket 9 times out of 10. Go back and look at the target splits throughout last year. And remember, this was a complaint right before the Tennessee Titans game was the first time they moved Terry to the other side. Remember what our thought process was. Man, they're not force-feeding Terry. They're not force-feeding Terry. That's not what this offense is. This is the West Coast air raid is what they basically run. A lot of quick game. They have their air raid principles, but the ball gets spread around the yard a lot. That's why Alameda Zacchaeus is able to have a career year. That's why Noah Brown is able to be looked at as an impactful wide receiver. Right, it's why Zach Ertz was able to have a renaissance. Eckler, the first man ever brought him down. Like, I kind of agree with what CJ said. I don't want to say I agree. I'm just curious as to like how they view themselves at that position. And does Cliff view it as a necessity with Jaden at quarterback?
Well, to that point, McLaurin last year had 5 100-yard games. He had 5 games where he had 22 or fewer yards. He had the same number of games last year, 22 or fewer yards, than he had with 100 yards.
So
there could be something to them going, we can move the ball without a true number one. You know, in some of those games, it's annoying to watch. Like, one of them was the awful Eagles game.
Yeah.
But, you know, they scored 30 and beat the Falcons in overtime. Terry had 1 catch for 5 yards. They scored 27 points and beat the New York Giants. He had 2 for 19. They scored mid-20s and beat the Giants. He had 6 for 22. In fact, in those games, they were 3-2 with him going 25 or fewer. So there could be something to that where they go, are we a traditional passing offense? If you are the Bengals, mm-hmm. you pay Chase.
Right.
And you pay Higgins. Because Joey B's standing in the pocket, right, making throws. You know, if you have a pocket passing quarterback like Minnesota with Cousins or something like that, you're paying Jefferson and you're right. going to get Addison. Because he's force-feeding those guys. Let's go to Mo in Largo. What's up, Mo?
What's going on, Mo?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Wow, you guys just took a whole lot of my thunder. Let me tell you that. So I'm really feeling that premise because if you think about it, you know, Jaden is extremely accurate. And like you say, he puts the ball on the money. So I don't think Terry's absence prevents Jaden from getting better. I think offensive line play prevents Jaden from getting better. And what he needs to get better at is just making sound, decisive decisions quickly. You know, getting rid of the ball in those moments where he hangs around with it a little too long. But as far as what their scheme is moving forward, or maybe we need to ask ourselves, what are they looking to do moving forward? And in a perfect world, who is more important to their scheme, Debo or Terry? Because you're going to have to pay either one of them next year. You know what I'm saying? So if they deem Debo to be more integral to their scheming and how they want to move forward, then I can understand why they're not trying to give Terry 30.
Well, paying Debo a big contract after you don't pay Terry
was that'd be a horrible look.
That's not going to go over very well. But it depends on the season he has. You know how old Debo is?
29, isn't he?
29.
So
he will be 30 when they pay him next year if they pay him, which means he will be older than Terry McLaurin when supposedly the problem with paying Terry McLaurin is that he's too old. Also, Debo's injury history makes me just not that excited to get into bed with him for an extended period of time.
And to pay him, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get that.
I'm all for dating. Me and Debo can go out and have a good old time.
Have a few drinks.
I'm not getting down on a knee and popping the question necessarily with Debo on some 3 or 4 year deal. I mean, look at the games. Now, somehow, some way, the last 2 years, he's only missed a couple of games. But the problem isn't games missed. It's the constant questionable, can't practice.
Always on the injury report.
Banged up. 75% of himself this week, 65% of him next week, watching in the first quarter to see if he's got it. Like that is the Debo Samuel kind of the last couple of years. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on G&D.
Chris?
What's up, man?
Hey, I had to call him because I fundamentally disagree with your last point about, well, you can isolate games where Terry had under 25 yards and they were still successful in those games. Football is a highly interdependent sport to the point where, you know, you almost need quantum computers to calculate and understand the relationship between each player on the field to know what their true contribution is. You can't just isolate individual games and say, well, they were able to beat the other teams when Terry wasn't productive. His productivity cannot be measured and quantified exclusively in yardage and receptions. Maybe over the course of an entire season, yes, but not during individual gameplay, because how successful were other players because Terry was taking their best corner, or he was getting double teamed, or he was drawing attention from the zone and other guys are getting open? Those are not going to show up in the stat sheet on individual isolated games.
No, so I completely agree with your point, and I think it's 100% accurate. What I was suggesting, and I'm curious to see what you think about this, is it is possible, and I brought up those five games to just say, he had the same number of games where he was essentially uninvolved and a non-factor than 100-plus yards, which is the demarcation of, like, a super significant game at the receiving position. Is it possible that they're saying, in this offense, with this quarterback, who is a dual threat, who's going to run the most of anybody, maybe not named Lamar Jackson, that with Zach Ertz and with a couple of number two receivers, and you know, if they line it up a different way, Baltimore is basically neglected wide receiver and won a dozen games every year for a long time with a running quarterback, could they philosophically just be saying, we don't need to pay a receiver top five money because we don't use receiver that way?
Listen, I think both sides in this negotiation have reasonable points. It all boils down to one number. And Grant, that number is 30, which Terry's age, or he's about to be 30, I can't remember. Unfortunately for him, he came into the NFL older than a lot of other his peers. And it's just that happens that his career has progressed in such a way that he's at this point, this crossroads where he's trying to get a second contract, but he's much older than the guys who got the big bag, as the kids say. And that's really the major number in this calculus here.
Which is also why, Chris, to that point, thanks for the call, buddy. When people, and I've heard a few people suggest this, we just had a caller say this, but this idea that, like, oh, well, they might pay Debo next year, I'm just not convinced of that.
No chance.
He's older than McLaurin. He's more injury prone, and his game will age worse, in my opinion. Not just because of his conditioning, that's been an issue on and off, but like the physical contact and the shots he takes and delivers. Like, he's a big freight train type player in the open field. That does not age that well. We've got an interview with Eddie Goldman, who's actually a local guy coming home to play on the defensive line. Speaking of big guys, there are very few players in the locker room bigger than Eddie Goldman, the former Chicago Bear. And you'll hear that as soon as we return on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Linnell's in for Danny. It's Grant and Danny on The Fan. Our camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Eddie Goldman has twice been out of the league, but he's back for more. Eddie Goldman provides the size and just the immovability up front
that
the Commanders are looking for against the run. 31 years old. He spent time in Chicago as a really, really good player, missed the 2020 season. And then in 21, was back with the Bears. Then he retired, didn't play in 22, and was out of the league in 23. I mean, to not have played three times in a four-year span is wild to me.
Not great, but...
Then he played with the Falcons last year, and he did start some games. He played some games in Atlanta, but it was just kind of a getting his feet back under him situation. I have no delusions of grandeur here that he's going to be the version of himself that he was when he was really good with the Bears. But you're just hoping he can help stop the run at 330 pounds.
Yeah.
I saw him coming off the practice field, wanted to catch up with him. He is a local guy, went to Friendship Collegiate in D.C., from the DMV, and back home.
This was one of the only teams that hit me up, and once they hit me up, it was a no-brainer. You know what I mean? You know, I got two guys that I used to watch right here, Sean Springs and Linda Fletcher. You know, it's kind of crazy, you know, right here. But, you know, just thinking about that, thinking about the legacy and how I feel about the organization, it was a no-brainer.
Do you still live here? Like, were you back at home, or are you in Chicago? Or, like, where do you stay?
I got a house in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you came up watching the Redskins, as you just said. I mean, you're looking over at those guys like a fan of them. What do you remember about growing up wearing burgundy and gold?
It was a lot of tough years, you know, but, you know, the line runs deep. You know, the blood runs deep. So, you know, a lot of years where it was hit and miss, but, you know, it's all good. I'm still a fan.
Were you always sure that you would be playing in 2025, or was there some thought maybe that you wouldn't play anymore?
I was sure. Okay. I was sure that I was going to play,
mm-hmm. And then last year, what was that like for you, just this last season, just making sure you were ready to go and get an opportunity like this?
It was just like anything else, you know, coming into the season, you know, you get in shape, you know, you come back and you get in the flow of things. And, you know, once you get going, then, you know, you're right back in it.
One of the big needs for this team is stopping the run. You know, in a division where they're chasing Philly with Saquon Barkley, who torched him a few times, they got a lot bigger up front, and you're a big key to that. Do you view that as kind of tangible, that, hey, they need size, they need run stuffing, or do you look at your role here as maybe more expansive than that?
My role is, you know, whatever DQ want me to do. You know, I don't want to speak on it, you know what I mean? Whatever he needs me to do, I'll do it, you know? Yep.
Dan Quinn's very, very popular with players. It's become really obvious with all the guys that come here and seem to fall in love with his style. Why is that? What is it about him that's so relatable and enjoyable?
He's uplifting. He's uplifting as a head coach, and he's just a cool guy to be around. You know what I mean? As far as from what I observe, you know, my short time being here, you know, he's a real player's coach, and he just wants you to come together and be the best team you could be. You know what I mean? That's what he explained yesterday in the team meeting.
You've also got a couple of guys on the D-line coaching, and Daryl Tapp, Ryan Kerrigan. I was on the beat here like 10 years ago when those guys were playing. It's not like they're old. Right? They were in the league when you were in the league. What is that relationship like with younger coaches who have been through it very recently at your position group?
I mean, it's just like any other coach, you know? I mean, they take the, you know, the plays and details, and they coach it to us, you know what I mean? Teach it to us in a way that we can understand, we can digest. And, I mean, it's not too much different. You know, I guess they're closer in age, so they could, you know, off-the-cuff conversations may be a little relatable. But as far as, like, coaching, ain't no, you know, change off or nothing like that.
Lastly, how's training camp changed since you broke into the league several years ago? I mean, day one today, like, there was a time even recent, you know, at the beginning of your career, I'm sure, where it felt and looked a lot different.
Yeah, it was two-a-days, you know, earlier. I mean, the first practice would be pads, and the second practice would be pads without the – bottoms, you know what I mean? So I guess that's different right there. What else? I say that's about it. You know, no guardian caps, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's pretty much it, you know.
But is it less grueling? I mean, is it like, you know, there was a time years and years ago where guys just showed up and from their job that they had all off season and they had to like get into shape. This is what you guys do. You spend money on your body all year. Do you still feel like you need the 3 weeks or whatever it is that ramping up, or what's your mindset on that?
I mean, whatever it takes to get acclimated, you know what I mean? All you need is some acclimation days and to get, you know, going, get the, you know, blood flowing, get the callus ready to, you know, pop the pads, you know what I mean? So, yeah, you just need a couple of days to get acclimated, then you're good, you know.
Thank you for the time.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Eddie Goldman back home in the DMV, part of this defensive line. We know that Dorrance Armstrong is going to be, you know, mostly an every down defensive end. We know that Von Miller will be a situationally used pass rusher. Cleveland Farrell will kind of platoon with him on running downs. Yeah. But otherwise, there's a lot of questions, right? Dietrich Wise, I would think, will be an important run stuffer at end. They can kick him inside a little bit. Payne, Kinlaw are going to have to help Eddie Goldman. There's so much competition on the D-line for this team right now. Armstrong, Payne, Kinlaw, Miller, Wise, Newton, Goldman, Farrell, that's eight. Martin, they signed in free agency. Sheldon Day was good last year. Jean-Baptiste, they drafted last year.
Jalen Holmes, too.
Further down the board, but Holmes has flashed in the preseason and done a couple things in the regular season. Andre Jones was drafted previous regime, but is still around. Like, that's as busy a room as you're going to find. There's not star power outside of maybe Payne and the name of Von Miller, but it's a lot of guys. That was not the case last year.
No, it was not. And I feel like with the guys that they brought in, it allows them to be more multiple in what they want to do. They got a couple of different guys that have inside, outside versatility. Like Kinlaw can play on the edge. Dorrance can play on the interior. They lined up yesterday, GP, and when they're pinning their ears back trying to rush, and it's Vaughn and Luvu off the edge, and it's Dorrance and Kinlaw, or Dorrance and Payne on the interior. Like, I like that on an obvious passing situation.
I want more packages where you don't know who's coming.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's standing up, or everybody's moving around at the snap. Because they got enough guys now that should be able to get home, mm-hmm. or at least just get downhill.
Right.
You know, and even like Jordan McGee was telling me that that's one of the main things he's been working on.
Was blitzing?
Will Harris said, yeah. I said, what's the main thing you'd want to take from someone? He's like, I'm trying to watch the pass rushers. Like, I need to add that to my portfolio.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly something that they're preaching. They want to be a part of what they do. We're going to check in with Ben Standig of the Athletic for the last several years covering the team. You can now listen to him here on The Fan and over on 980 throughout the season. He's also got a Substack he's going to be covering the team for. So Standing's going to be with us. Plus, I want to hit an audio vault before we get out of here. I got a couple of good clips that I saw last night from around the NFL that are hilarious. One involves Jerry Jones.
Always good.
My man just can't do a press conference without a blooper. G&D on The Fan.